This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
We're off and running on the Doug Marrone Show, heading into Week 9. The Jags and the Cincinnati Bengals coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone, coming off the bye, coach. What's up?
I know. I'm well rested, ready to go. Yeah, absolutely. Fired up for it.
The football team seems like they're well rested as well. A lot of guys back on the practice field this week, and that's the good thing about having the bye middle of the season. You get those bumps and bruises in the first half, and it gives guys a chance to regroup. It gives your staff a chance to regroup and get ready for the stretch run here.
It does. I mean, you go back and you do a lot of self-analysis on yourself and find out, you know, just to make sure, hey, these are the things we're doing well, these are the things that we need to improve on, or these are the things that the other teams have on us, you know, from what we're doing, from a consistency report, things of that nature. What do we have to change? What do we have to add? What do we have to do? So you just, it's just that kind of that break that you can just take a step back. You're not under the gun to get ready for another game that following week and, you know, really look at your football team and see some of the things that you can do better.
It's a break from the routine, but how important is it for the bye week to get the mental break for your coaches, for your players to come back and be rejuvenated for the stretch?
I think it's important. I really do. I think, you know, when you're going week to week and, you know, the game plans, you know, obviously we're starting to work on the game plans on Monday, you know, after the players leave, then all day Tuesday, and then the players come back, and it's a lot of information. And then each night there's a different phase of the game plan you're working on, and the players are getting that constantly also. And it just gets, you know, it's taxing because it's not like you can say, hey, we're running the same plays every week. You know, you have a volume of plays, a volume of defenses, a volume of what you do on special teams, and, you know, you're kind of picking and choosing strategically what you feel is going to work that week. So it does get a little taxing, not just, you know, a lot of people talk about the physical aspect of a bye week, being able to come back, rest, you know, get some rest, get, you know, maybe, I don't know if you ever get rid of the, maybe the soreness and the wear and tear that, you know, the first seven games takes on your body, but mentally, it's a great point. People don't bring up the mental aspect of it. And, you know, you come in and you're fresh and you're ready to go and you're hungry again. And I think that's what we've seen from our players this week.
Did your wife, was she happy to see you, or was she saying, why do you have a bye week, Doug?
No, my bye week was busy this year. It's like, you know, we had Telvin Smith's contract that we had gotten done. So I was around here for most of the evening when that was, you know, getting worked out. And then obviously we had to trade for Marcell Dareus. Which, you know, took place, I would think, Friday. And I know he came in here on Saturday. So, you know, I was here Saturday. And while I was here, I was like, well, shoot, I might as well. Well, football's my life, so I might as well watch Georgia, Florida. And, you know, stayed here and watched some of the young prospects that are coming out. And then, you know, Sunday come in here and do a little work, you know, get myself ready for the players coming back on Monday.
Did you watch any football on Sunday, like on TV? Do you sit back with a remote control and flip around?
It's actually one of my favorite times is that, you know, I'm able to I don't know if this is statistic or not, but I kind of watch and go, ooh, 3rd and 14. Man, I know what he's thinking. Five, that's awful. Hey, better him than me. You know, or you see things that happen, or, you know, a player makes a penalty and you're thinking, oh, I know exactly what that coach is thinking. I know what he'd like to do right now, you know. But at the same time, I'm not a very good person to watch the game with. You know, I don't want people asking me questions like, you know, what are you watching? What are you looking at? Hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I'm always like, that's it. No one's allowed to talk to me. Want to watch the game.
Even college football.
College, I don't watch as much college. You know, probably because I just, you know, because I'm going to have to watch so much college when it's over.
Off-season. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're watching so much of it. And, you know, it's so much easier for me now to watch tape on our XOs where we get the running tape of it. And, you know, the commentary and the commercials and all that stuff, I'd rather just, you know, watch it through and really get into it from a schematic standpoint. But I do like to take a lot of, well, you know, one of the things I do is I take a lot of the situations that occur, you know, during the week, cut them out in real time. And that's the way that I work on game management. So I'll watch it in real time as it's happening and say, okay, I'd call a timeout here, you know, or, you know, maybe I would challenge here or things of that nature. So this way, you know, that's my way as a coach of staying on top of it and staying fast and quick and trying to stay ahead of it.
I can just picture Doug Marrone, kicked back in a recliner, cold beer in hand, remote in the other, yelling at the TV screen on a Sunday.
A cold Diet Pepsi.
Oh, yes. Yeah, unsweetened iced tea. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yes.
And I can even tell you what I'm wearing. I got big old baggy gray shorts, a big old baggy sweatshirt, and a bologna and cheese sandwich.
What up?
Bologna and cheese sandwich.
I'm a bologna and cheese guy. Oh. Yeah. I get a lot of abuse for that.
Do you eat Spam, too?
No, but I mean, I gravitate. I mean, I don't change. You know, when I was growing up, meatloaf, macaroni and cheese. You know, I mean, college, it was, you know, I'll never forget. It was like 3-for-1 macaroni and cheese. So my roommate and I would go, we'd get the macaroni and cheese.
Bargain.
And if
like 69 cents for three or 89
exactly,
cents, whatever it was.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we all did. And then, you know, for me, when I was growing up, you know, if we put the hot dog, you know, cut the hot dogs up and put them in there, that was like a big meal. So, you know, as you get older in life, I mean, I always relate that to myself. And I used to get a bunch of crap because when I was the head coach of Syracuse, they say, hey, what do you do after a win? And this and that. I'm like, the only thing I want is a bologna and cheese sandwich. And I still do to this day. And
Fried bologna?
No. Here's how that works.
I always
try to explain to people. Here's exactly how it works. See, when I was growing up, we'd get a lot of, like, bologna. So you get a pound and a half or 2 pounds of bologna quite a bit. And then as you go through it, after a while, if you don't get through it quickly, there gets like a little film on it, like a little film, you know, like a little glaze on it.
That's not ideal.
But once it gets like that, then you go ahead and fry it, and it tastes great. No different than, like, when I was growing up, the bread. So when the Wonder Bread would start to get a little stale, that was French toast, you know, and then we'd make French toast out of it. So, you know, nowadays, you know, that's why I go crazy at home. You know, I see the kids, they're like, nah, they throw out like 4 pieces of bread, the bologna, you know, not the bologna, but they start throwing stuff out. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute now. We can make French toast. We can make that. And they think I'm crazy. But that's how I grew up. I mean, right. So I don't know anything else, you know. I really don't. That's why in the Georgia-Florida game, I must ate about 5 hot dogs. I love hot dogs.
Stadium hot dog. There's
yeah, like
better,
if there's
right?
If there's like filet mignon or any or like fish or any, I'll take the hot dog. I'm the first guy to go for it. I always wanted to, and maybe when I'm done coaching, enter one the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island.
Oh, 4th of July, huh?
I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now. I think I can give those people a run for their money.
Compete, huh? Like I think the record's like 72. Or something.
I'm telling you, I can compete. When I was a player, I had the Bobby Rubino rib eating champion when I was in Miami. So
how many?
I forget because they did it. I forget it was like 52 in like 5 minutes or something like that. You know, but they were the baby. I mean, I was just pulling them off. Just, and then they got to count make sure they look at the bones to make sure that, you know, they're worthy.
You leave some meat on there. Yeah.
With the charity thing where people would bet on you. I'm like, you can eat the bet on me now. I can crush these ribs. I know. I'm all right. We got
to
talk about football.
We got plenty to
right,
talk
Joe?
About.
I mean, we
could talk about food and hot dogs.
Oh, I could talk about
day.
Food all day. Look at me. Of course. I mean, how can I not talk about food?
We're going to come back and talk about another guy who probably likes some food too, Marcel Darius. 330 pounds of him.
He's 38.
338.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back and get into that after the trade to the Jaguars from the Bills. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We roll along with the head coach Doug Marrone. Jags Bengals coming up Sunday. Forever Teal Sunday, by the way. Teal jerseys for the first time since 2013 for the Jags against the Bengals. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. Marcel Darius will make his Jaguars debut in a teal jersey this Sunday. 338 pounds. You had him a couple of years in Buffalo, Doug. A guy that, I mean, he was a third overall pick for a reason. Great football player coming out. All pro one time, couple of Pro Bowls, and yeah, 2 times, mm-hmm. and can play at just a high level. A really, really good football player.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and obviously he and I were together for the 2 years I was in Buffalo, played extremely well. And like I said, you know, we had an opportunity to get a player that we believe is going to help, you know, our football team. And I think that he's, you know, obviously outstanding against the run, but he's also, you know, I was with him when he had the double-digit sack total in 2014. And, you know, the thing that I've always, you know, I've always said about Marcel is I've never seen, you know, he loves to play the game. He just loves to be out there on the field. He loves to practice. He loves to compete, loves to play. And that's the one thing I've always appreciated about him. And, you know, he's really come in, and obviously it's always tough, you know, when you go through a trade. You know, he's been in Alabama. He's been at Buffalo. This is different for him now, you know, coming to a new environment. But, you know, Jason Rebovich, who's our assistant defensive line coach, has been with him. Obviously, Tyrone Wheatley, Nathaniel Hackett, and myself have been around him. He's really, you know, the players on our team have really welcomed him here, and he's really done a nice job this week during practice, and I'm excited to see him go out on the field this week.
Can you see him get comfortable, you know, through the course of the week? Because, I mean, holy cow, you know, you're traded on Friday, you're kind of getting ready for a game, and, you know, what a – you know, that's a lot to kind of handle, and all of a sudden you're on a plane and you're gone.
It is, and I, you know, and we've been working on it. I mean, you know, for me to sit here and say, hey, everything's fine. I mean, you know, all of a sudden your life gets, you know, shocked. I mean, or rocked, or whatever you want to say, and you know, no one really expects this, and these things happen. But you know, like I told him, I said, you know, when it was brought up to me, you know, I wanted you. I mean, I love that you're going to be here. You know, you have a chance to, you know, our defense is a very good defense, and, you know, we have a chance to be special. I think we've got to take advantage of these opportunities, and when you can add a player like Marcel, I think it's only going to help us.
I noticed that he is wearing the number that he wore his entire NFL career, 99. Did you facilitate a little change of cash to get Elian Koo to give up 99?
Well, you know, I've never, you know, as the head coach, and even when I was an assistant and those things would go on, and it's gone on, you know, throughout my career in the NFL, even when I played, you know, that's one thing as a coach that I had never got involved with, you know, and I've always just let the players work it out. They work it out amongst themselves. So I didn't even know, you know, about this until I think on Wednesday, you know, or Tuesday, I think Jimmy Luck told me that, you know, they were changing numbers. And I was like, well, good. You know, I didn't hear anything. Cause sometimes it gets a little crazy sometimes, you know, where, you know, players don't want to give it up or anything like that. And then, you know, then all of a sudden now you got an issue on the team. And I've been in a situation like that before, but you know, this was no problem at all. And, you know, credit to both of those guys. I'm sure, you know, Marcel made it worth his while, and credit to Ely for letting it happen.
I wish I could have been the agent. Get a little commission off of that.
Come on now. Get a percentage.
And come on to be Anku's agent. So you get a little cut, right? You know, hey, drive a hard bargain. Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, 99.
I mean, I think these guys have enough guys around them trying to get something off them.
The Bengals dropped their first three games of the season. They've won 3 of 4 since then. They won a tough game last week against Indianapolis. The defense held on towards the end there to get that thing done. Let's start off with this offense for Cincinnati. I mean, Andy Dalton's there. A.J. Green, fantastic weapon on the outside. What, from the outside looking in at Andy Dalton, what's the first thing you think of when you think of that quarterback?
I think very smart. I think that, you know, if you show him your hand too early and you show him the coverage, I think he knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball. I think he has better mobility than people give him credit for. I think he makes a lot of plays when he's on the run. I think that, you know, people say, well, you know, maybe his arm's not that strong, this and that, but it's strong enough to throw seams, to make all the throws that he needs to make. But I think one of the key things is a lot of the pre-snap stuff. I think he's a very smart player that, you know, knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball before the leather hits his hands.
He's got an offensive line that's kind of undergoing a change. You know, for many years they had Whitworth at left tackle. They had Smith at right tackle. They've got 2 third-year players, a first-round pick and a second-round pick, that are manning the corners of that offensive line, and they've got a new guard, you know, with Zeitler moving on to Cleveland in free agency. That seems to be an issue that they're still trying to work through, that offensive line.
Well, Jeff, you know this. Anytime you lose, you know, a player the caliber of Andrew Whitworth or Zeitler, you know, the offensive line is so important to each team. I'm being a little bit sarcastic. But, no, it's true. I mean, those two guys are outstanding players, and, you know, they lost those players. Now, there's good players that are going to replace them, and they have players that have replaced them that are high picks or draft picks or you know, players that have played for a long period of time. But it takes a while, you know what I'm saying, to get going, you know what I'm saying, to get everybody on the same page working together, especially when you lose players. I think it's a little bit tougher when you lose players, you know, of that nature that have been in the room for a long time, that probably set the culture of that room. But, you know, You know, Paul Alexander's the offensive line coach. He's been there for a long period of time. They have him coming in. I think, you know, the first three games, you know, they're trying to figure it out, and they had some tough breaks. But, you know, you look, you know where they are now. They've won, three out of four. I think they went up to Green Bay, which is always a difficult place to play, and lost a game in overtime. So they could have easily have won that. And, they went to Pittsburgh, and obviously it's always tough to win there, and that's a division game for them. But, you know, I've told our players all week that, you know, we got a pretty hot football team coming to our place that's in the thick of it, and it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us.
They're in the thick of it, mainly because of that defense. We'll come back and get into the Jaguars matchup this week against that Bengals defense. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We're back. Jags Bengals coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. Five of the next seven games here at Everbank is the Jags still in first place, 4-3. Well, Tennessee has the tiebreaker at the moment. 4-3 Jaguars, 3-4 Bengals coming in this Sunday at 1 o'clock with a defense coach that ranks highly in a number of categories around the National Football League. It starts up front. Geno Atkins is one of the best at that position in the league right now.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's in the conversation. He's, you know, if not the best, one of the best in the league. And he's just, it's like anyone else in that position. I think he has, you know, great speed, great power, you know, coming off the football. He's able to defend the run extremely well, get off blocks, make tackles. And obviously, he's an outstanding pass rusher from the inside.
Yeah, and he's one of the best at the inside. The guy on the outside that I've always kind of watched and admired because he kind of reminds me of one of the former Jaguars, Clyde Simmons, and that is the left defensive end. He also plays a little bit of right, Carlos Dunlap, because he's long, he's strong, and when he pass rushes or when he plays the game, much like Clyde Simmons, he kind of does it effortless, or it appears to be effortless.
It does. He's very, very strong-handed, very solid. You know, he has a can generate a lot of power, has great leverage. I think the thing that's most impressing of, you know, that I'm most impressed with is, you know, last year he had 15 PBUs. I mean, you know, he's a guy that if you're not on, you don't stay on him, you know, and he gets his hands up, he's going to, you know, deflect a lot of footballs. And, you know, we've been concentrating on that during the week and understanding that, hey, listen, you know, we know that we've had, you know, issues in the past that, you know, we've had a lot of balls deflected. And, you know, they've done a great job because in the secondary, linebackers in secondary, they have excellent ball skills, and you see a lot of balls getting deflected and them, you know, being able to make interceptions. So, you know, we've got to do a good job of making sure that we keep his hands down. Michael Johnson's on the other side. He's another big defensive end, a veteran player. We've got to make sure we keep his hands down. So, you know, our offensive line will be challenged because, you know, this is a team that can create a lot of pressure from just their front four.
A lot of people out there going, okay, what's a PBU?
Pass breakup.
Yeah, which a lot of people don't know. You know,
peanut butter and jelly.
Exactly. they also have a young pass rusher who's a fourth-round pick, Carl Lawson, from watching him on film. He doesn't have a lot of the typical measurables of a pass rusher. He doesn't have the length. But he has the ability to bend the corner and stay low and to make plays. And as a rookie, he's leading the league in rookies with sacks with 4.5. He looks like a good player.
See, I remember him when I was at Syracuse. His dad had played for one of our coaches at Nassau Community College, and he was coming out of Atlanta. And we were looking at him, and he was an outstanding player coming out. And obviously, he chose to go to Auburn over Syracuse, which I was very disappointed in. But at the time, you know, so now he's there at Auburn. Well, now he's coming out in the NFL. And I think what Jeff said is right. I think, you know, a lot of times you're going to look at the intangibles like height, weight, speed. You know, when you look at it, you say to yourself, well, you know, I wish he was taller. Oh, I wish he was a little bit faster. Oh, I wish he was this. But, you know, the one thing about the player is he's been extremely productive, you know, to a certain extent where he has 31 pressures on the quarterback, which is the most from a rookie since, I believe, 2010 or 2012 when Chandler Jones first came out. So he's an outstanding football player. You know, I see a lot of Dwight Freeney a little bit, maybe not as fast, but as far as, you know, being explosive and build and things of that nature. So, you know, obviously he's another person that's going to be a great challenge for our tackles.
Seems like your offensive line's been up for a challenge like this a lot of the year, though. They've kept Blake upright. They've been up front in the run game and with the best rushing attack in football. What would you say in general your offensive line play has been this year?
You know, it's always hard. You know, JP, I get this question a lot, and I think that, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you know, my situation is, you know, I'm always trying to push the players. I'm always trying to push them to be better, to, you know, to work harder, to, you know, and so for me, it's difficult. I think that's something that we evaluate at the end of the year. You know, so at the end of the year, when we look at the whole body of work, you can say, hey, you know what, those guys did a nice job, or, you know, they played well in this or did a nice job in this. But, you know, as you're going through the season and you're grinding away and you're leading the team, you know, you just keep pushing. And, you know, so for me with the O-line or any other position on a team, you know, they might have a great game, and the first thing in my mind is, well, we can get a better play, a better game out of this group, a better practice out of this group. So, you know, and I just keep pushing, and at the end of the year, we'll look back and we'll be able to say what's good and bad.
I think you answered a question this week about Parnell. Somebody asked you, how's Parnell playing? You're like, well, we haven't talked about him, so he's doing okay, but there's still some things he can do better. Right?
Well, I think it's the same thing, especially with offensive linemen. You know, if someone's like, hey, how's that guy playing? And he's probably playing pretty well if you haven't noticed anything. You know, it's the one thing about, you know, offensive line play. The only time you really get noticed is there's a couple times. One, you know, obviously if you're getting beat, you know, everyone's like, oh, he just ran right around him, you know, or ran right through him, whatever. And then, you know, the other time though is like, you know, you have a chance now when you play against an elite pass rusher, and you know that, you know, when you're playing against them, people are going to be honed in on how he's pass rushing. You know, at the end of the day, you play one of these great pass rushers like Von Miller, whoever it may be, and it's like, you know, Von Miller at the end of the day didn't have any quarterback hits, no pressures or anything. Like, oh, who's he playing against? You know, I think – but those are the only times that you really get recognized.
You've had a couple guys that have been out for a little while. Brandon Leonard's been out. Cam Robinson left the Indianapolis game. I know, obviously, the final injury report comes out on Friday. How do they appear to be doing?
You know, I think they're progressing. I think we're progressing, and you know, out there, you know, into Linder's going to be fine. You know, I feel very comfortable with that because that was an illness. So that's a little bit different than it being like a body part or anything
you're
else.
Saying he's going to be fine. See, you normally don't say that people.
I don't,
be fine.
But like when someone has an illness, I can say he doesn't have an illness anymore, and he's going to be ready to go.
Okay, we're holding you to it.
You can hold me to that one. But when it comes down to the injuries, that's a little bit tougher. You know, when it comes down to, you know, pain tolerance or how you're feeling. You know, like, and the reason why I feel fine is because, obviously, the illness is gone, and he's back on track. And, you know, whereas, like, everyone else, you're just kind of waiting. Because you can go out there, and if it's not 100%, you know, if you just tweak it a little bit, you can go down quite a bit. So I never like to say it about, you know, the other injuries. But, you know, everyone's working hard. The good thing about it is everyone wants to come back. They want to play. And I think that's the most important thing.
Speaking of injuries, it wasn't too long before we walked in here behind the microphones that it was reported that the Houston Texans have lost Deshaun Watson to an ACL tear in practice. Pretty significant news in your division.
Well, you know, it is. But my first thoughts, you know, obviously go out to, you know, the player. I think any time, you know, no different than, you know, when we were playing Indianapolis and you know, the defensive back, the free safety went down, Hooker, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing I'm thinking was, gosh, you know, we interviewed him. What a great kid, you know, very good football player. And that was the first thing, you know, after the game, you know, when I saw Coach Pagano, I said, listen, I really hope those two players that went out in our game, I hope those two players are going to be okay. That's the first thing that comes to my mind as a coach. You know, and then the same thing when you hear this about, you know, about Watson, the first thing, you know, hey, how hard this guy's worked in college, what a career he had, how great he was doing while he was in this league and, you know, while he was playing at the time. And then, you know, to have this unfortunate injury, because I see it all every day with Allen Robinson. You know, I look at Allen Robinson, who's worked extremely hard. I see him here working hard to get back, working hard to rehab, you know, and sometimes and it was a non-contact injury. And I think to myself, you know, gosh, you know, is that really fair, you know, for a player like that? So a lot of times that's when my first thoughts, you know, not a lot of times, all the time, that's when my first thoughts go, you know, to those players. And, you know, knowing about the recovery, knowing about, you know, what's going to happen and knowing that, unfortunately, that's something that's part of the game, but it's an unfortunate part of it.
Jags Bengals coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock, Everbank Field. 5 of the next 7 here. Good chance, good opportunity for your football team, coach, as we close it out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, JP.
Head coach Doug Marrone joining us. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, the Doug Marrone Show rolls along. Head coach Doug Marrone joining us in the first half hour each week. Jags Bengals, Forever Teal, as you can tell by the shirt, Slugs. Forever Teal Sunday.
This isn't anything crazy for me. Hey, I wore this before.
Did you? I never got a teal one of those shirts.
That's because you haven't been around here long enough.
That's fair.
Yeah. This is not the old, old school teal, but it's certainly older than your shirt teal.
Yeah, this is a new one. This
you kind of got a two-tone teal work in there. Yeah.
Two teal tone. Yeah. So either way, teal jerseys this Sunday. Teal on black pants. The Jags are 8-4 in that jersey combo all time.
Yeah, not like that makes a difference.
I'm just saying.
You know.
The facts are the facts. Just the facts, ma'am.
Well, I know that they're facts, but you know, the color of the jerseys, I don't believe impact winning or losing. But it will be good to see, you know, the teal back in action. It's also a great weekend because I think there's, you know, 50-something odd, you know, former Jaguar players that are coming back. They'll be back on Saturday for a little gathering to have dinner and to kind of reminisce a little bit. I hope that Tom Coughlin will show up. I expect him to. If he doesn't show up, probably going to have a conversation with him. Say, man, where were you? What happened? You know, because I mean, look, all the guys would love to see him, and you know, so it's going to be good to see everybody come back in town. And you know, every year it seems like it grows a little bit. And I think the players that come that have wore the jersey before and are coming back will probably have a lot of smiles on their faces to see the teal. You know, because that's what we wore. I mean, back in, you know, the early days, I mean, it was teal. That was our color, teal and white, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, it's teal this Sunday, Jags and the Bengals coming up. As we touched on with Coach just a minute ago, a few guys are back on the field this week. Leonard Fournette is back on the field. Brandon Linder, Coach just said he's good to go for Sunday. Cam Robinson's out there working. Dede Westbrook also. But the one for me is Cam Robinson, because the way he went down in that game in Indy a couple of weeks ago, they carted him off the field. You're thinking, what the heck is this thing? Then they announced it's a sprain, not as bad. The guy never missed a game at Alabama, first of all, and he had some injuries throughout his career there. Tough guy, wants to play, and I think that was what we heard from Coach, that all these guys want to be out there in this time of this football.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, when you're winning, everybody wants to play. Yeah. You know, it's when, you know, at the end of the year, when maybe you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, that, you know, guys that are hurt, you know, if they're borderline whether they can play or not, all of a sudden you find out kind of the true being, you know, whether they play or not. And you know, Cam Robinson's a tough guy. If he can play, he will. The one thing, though, that you want to be smart about it from, you know, coaching staff and also a medical standpoint, look, you don't want to have 1 week of playing to set you back so much farther than you would if you had just gotten that one extra week to kind of come back. So, you know, he's the one I think that you worry about, you know, because he didn't put any weight on that ankle as he was walking off the field. He obviously had to get carted off. And, look, he's a tough guy. And for Cam Robinson to react to the injury the way he did, you knew that it was pretty significant. Now, the other guys, you know, Dede Westbrook, you know, coming back from what was a core muscle surgery.
Yep.
You know, I don't know about Dede, you know, because, you know, this is the first week that, you know, he's really been allowed to practice. So you're talking about a rookie who has no game exposure. My guess would be is that you're going to want to see him for a little while before you trust him. And also the fact that he's got to get back in shape.
That's right.
You know, I mean, he has not been able to participate in practice at all up until this week. And last week he didn't have enough practices. Even if he was able to practice last week, it wasn't going to be anything significant. So you're talking about a player coming back from a surgery that I'm sure mentally he is into it because he was able to attend everything from a meeting standpoint. But the physical standpoint of getting ready to play in a game and contribute – to where you're going to eat up an active roster spot on game day, you have to be, without question, ready to go.
Now remember, he led the preseason in yardage and catches in the NFL and all that, but a lot of that was...
And that was 8 weeks ago.
And that was 8 weeks ago against third-string guys a lot of times.
And 8 weeks ago, and he didn't play the last preseason game, if I remember correctly.
No, he did. He played.
He did play the last one.
Got the second opinion, played, and then had the surgery.
Okay, so we're talking 8 weeks of inactivity, you know, and a surgery. You know, so I would be surprised if he's ready to go. I expect, you know, another week or two maybe down the road for him to allow him to get acclimated, get back into football shape. Leonard Fournette, you know, who knows? You know, and I think that they're going to hold that one very close to the vest because you're talking about a significant game plan advantage. If he can't play, you want to make sure that they, you know, have the appearance that, you know, he might play and vice versa. I mean, you still want to carry the appearance that he could play because that the preparation – from a Bengals standpoint, with Leonard Fournette and without Leonard Fournette, as we've seen, the game plan changed significantly against Indianapolis without Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. T.J. Yeldon did have a day, and Doug Marrone said, I think, on Monday that they got to find a way to get T.J. Yeldon up on game day, and it sounds like that could happen no matter what happens with Leonard Fournette. Hey, let's come back and get on the Jaguars' defense a little bit. We'll break down Marcell Dareus a bit more. I know you watched some film on him this week with the head coach. We'll get to that coming up. It's the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman, the Doug Marrone Show continues. We hear from the head coach of the first half hour tonight. Jags-Bengals coming up Sunday at Everbank Field, 633-2000. Or visit Jaguars.com/tickets to get your tickets for the Sunday's game. Should be a good one. Five of the next seven here at Everbank Field, so a lot of chances to come see the Jags in action. The first-place Jaguars, in fact. Well, the first-place Jaguars bolstered this week with the trade of Marcell Dareus from the Bills for a sixth-round pick in 2018. As we talked with Doug Marrone about earlier, I mean, the guy's 338 pounds, so he's a large man in the middle, first of all, to help a run defense that's last in the league. But he's so much more than that on defense.
Oh, he's the best part about him is that you know, you get what you call positional flexibility. And anytime that you can get a player that can play multiple positions, the better off you're going to be. For example, Calais Campbell can play defensive end. He can play the three technique. If asked to, he could play a one because he's that good and he's that has that flexibility as a player. Avery Jones can play nose. He can play a little bit of strong side end, and he does when he goes into their base defense where they're trying to stop a four-minute drill. You know, the opponent's trying to run the football. You know, and that's what you want. And with Marcell Dareus, you know, he has the ability to play a one technique, which is the nose tackle. He can also play the three technique, which is what Malik Jackson plays. And I would expect that his significant playing time will be as the one technique to start with, and he will get some reps possibly as a nickel rusher because he's a big, powerful man. He can push the pocket. And he may get some snaps in a rotational kind of a deal with Malik Jackson where he takes some snaps at three. But I anticipate him, the majority of his snaps will come at the nose tackle position because, you know, he's a 338-pound man. You know, you look at his play, particularly in the last game, because, you know, I watched every snap that he played this year, and it looked like that he was banged up a little bit. He had an ankle that was taped up, spatted up on the outside of the shoe, which, you know, indicates he's got an ankle issue going on. But in the last game that he played, he didn't have that. And you could tell that his movement was much better against Tampa to where he was running, turning and running. And when he turns and runs, you know, he's not a typical 338-pound man. I mean, he moves like a 280-pounder. You know, he's got some quickness like an Aaron Donald, but you're talking 338 pounds, and he's a movable force when he's holding the line of scrimmage. And there were times to where Ali Marpet, who is a good young center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, couldn't move him one inch in a lot most cases, Ali Marpet was retreating and just trying to hold off a little bit of the power of Marcell Dareus. I mean, he's that strong. You know, first time I saw him, you know, in flesh, you know, when he came into the press conference, you know, I was in the back of the room. My first thought was, oh, my God, look at the size of his chest and shoulders. I mean, look, I've been around professional football players for 30 years.
Sure.
Very rarely does somebody make that kind of impression on me to where I go, oh, my God.
But think about this, right? So the first person that made that impression in the last couple of years was Malik Jackson, right? Big, long, athletic guy. Right? And then Calais Campbell comes
now,
along.
Now, Calais makes the impression because he's so tall.
Huge.
And long. And then at 300 pounds.
And then here comes Darius, just wide, massive body. So that's like two, three guys
But JP,
freaks.
Marcel is a different kind of big. Yeah. I mean, you're talking, I'd love to know, you know, what size sport coat he's got to wear.
I'd love to be his tailor because everything's custom.
He's got to be in the 60s. I mean, he's huge. And not only is, and he's not, it's not like he's fat up top. I mean, this is a big man that has a lot of power, and he takes offensive linemen. And it's very rare for a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman in this league to literally to dominate physically another player. You know, look, when you win, sometimes you're winning just by just a little bit. You know,
just
maybe just a little
edge.
Hair, maybe get a little bit of a push, and the player doesn't get completely off balance, but he gets out of a position slightly. You know, when Marcel grabs a hold of people and he decides to throw them to come off and make a tackle, he is literally throwing them to where they're almost flying in the air in a horizontal position. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's the type of strength that he has. And he is going to provide an immediate upgrade just because of his ability to play that nose technique. That 5.2 yards per rush average against the Jaguars defense, I expect that to creep down. And the linebackers that are behind Marcel are going to be loving it.
Mm-hmm. Got some room to maneuver now at linebacker. Let's come back and see about this Jags O-line matchup this week. It's a tough one. We talked a little bit about it with Doug Marrone earlier. Jags O-line, Bengals defense as a whole coming up. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
The Bengals-Jaguars game this Sunday is presented by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. The Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We heard from the head coach in the first half hour tonight. Jags at 4-3. Tennessee has the tiebreaker in the AFC South currently. So they're tied for first place, technically. But they'll get to beat again. It's a lot of football left. 9 weeks to go for the Jags here.
That's
in
right.
The 2017 season. Yeah, a lot of quarterback news today, by the way. Not only did Deshaun Watson injure his ACL in practice today, but officially injured reserve for Andrew Luck now in Indianapolis today as well. So that's two in the division in one day. What a day.
Yeah, you know, not surprised about Andrew Luck. I mean,
you had talked about that a long time.
Right? Yeah, we actually talked about it with Pete Prisco going all the way back to the summer. You know, and I was very curious as you, because at that point, he hadn't even begun to throw yet. And, I mean, you're talking about, what was that? At that point, it was like 7 months post-op. I mean, 7 months post-op, I mean, typically guys are starting to take the steps to get ready to, you know, to be involved. And he wasn't even at that point. And, you know, now they're talking about how they, you know, gave him a cortisone injection. It didn't impact it at all. Now he's going on injured reserve. You know, the big question that you have is this something that he can recover from? I mean, I think you have to ask that question. You know, you're not going to get the answer, but I mean, that's a real question to ask. Is Andrew Luck, will he ever be able to return to the game and have the arm that he had before?
It would be the same. I don't know.
You know, and Deshaun Watson today in practice tearing an ACL. He had an ACL in college, too, mm-hmm, didn't he?
I mean, you're
talking a pretty significant injury. And what a shame, because you know what? If I were a player on this football team, you want to beat the best at their best. You know, you don't want to beat a team because they're, you know, they're shorted up because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to beat the Texans when they've got Deshaun Watson. You want to beat the Colts when they have Andrew Luck. I think that means more to you as a team and as an organization when you are capable of doing that. So, but it's a crazy, crazy time and certainly crazy for the situation in the National Football League, what's happened with the quarterbacks, Garoppolo leaving New England, going to San Francisco, and then the botched trade between Cleveland and Cincinnati. You know, and Cincinnati had an opportunity to trade A.J. McCarron, and the Cleveland Browns had offered up a second and a third round pick in 2018, and the Browns didn't turn in the paperwork on time, so the trade didn't happen. And there's going to be some problems in Cleveland. Thank goodness.
Going to be,
that the Jaguars as an organization don't operate like the Cleveland Browns, because that's embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was a bad one for sure. Quick thought here about the matchup this week, this Sunday. Offensive line for the Jags, defensive line for the Bengals. That's a good matchup this week. But as a whole, this defense against Blake Bortles, Jags are going to run the football. They want to run the football. That's what they want to be. But Blake, they did that last week in Indy. Blake still had one of the better games he's had in a little while here, and threw the ball down the field again.
Explosive plays were a big part of that game.
Yeah, catch and run, and that's got to happen back-to-back for Blake, though.
Well, it's not going to be as easy against the Bengals as it was against the Colts. You got two different styles of defense. You know, Marvin Lewis will keep the safeties back. You know, whereas Indianapolis was not afraid to leave their corners on an island on the outside. You know, and look, maybe Marvin Lewis does that, you know, with how good the Jaguars' running game can be. But look, that's not, you know, they've been able to stop the run very well for the most part this year by not doing that. And I would be surprised if Marvin Lewis chooses to do that. But look, there's three guys, in my opinion, you got to worry about up front. It's obviously Geno Atkins is the main guy. The young rookie pass rusher, which is Carl Lawson, and then Carlos Dunlap. I mean, those three guys up front are really good football players. The corners, they have three first-round draft picks. I think they're solid players for what they ask them to do. But the one thing you can't do if you're the Jaguars on offense, you can't turn the ball over a bunch against this Bengals team. And the Bengals haven't been very good at taking the ball away. You know, they've got five interceptions on the season. They've got zero fumble recoveries.
None.
Zero. One of two teams in the National Football League that do not have a fumble recovery in the takeaway category, them, and it's the Arizona Cardinals.
It's kind of hard to do, actually.
I mean, you're talking about not seven games in and to not have a caused fumble. As a team now, special teams or on defense, they have not recovered a fumble yet. So you've got to make sure that you don't make mistakes to help out that Bengals defense.
Let's come back and wrap it up. Look at the week ahead for the Jags. Well, the week remaining for the Jags is near the end of the week anyway. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. If you're in our area in Jacksonville, on our flagship station, I mean to say, 1010XL Radio, stay tuned. Jaguars Thursday is next. Maybe I'll speak English.
I need to get you a candy bar.
Yeah, it is Halloween, post-Halloween
candy. That's what I got going on. I literally, in that commercial break, I went through three little mini candy bars, and now I'm on a Tootsie Roll.
You're rolling tonight, bud.
I love Halloween.
I'm sure you'd love the
post-Halloween. Buscelli's a big fan of Halloween, too, by the way.
We'll find out in Jaguars Thursday coming up shortly, the next show on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville. Also, Jaguars.com and the Jags app. That's coming up in mere moments. So the Jaguars back on the field tomorrow, probably walking through on Saturday. Game Sunday, 1 o'clock, Everbank Field, the Bengals and the Jags. It's a game you got to have.
Well,
if you want to be a competing team.
It's time to win at home. You know, I mean, that I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that if you want to be a good football team, you need to start winning at home. You need to get this fan base excited for what it's watching. You need to get this team believing that home field is theirs to own. And that's a step that you got to take. I mean, if you're going to be where you want to be as an organization, that needs to occur. And it's a great opportunity against a Bengals team. And I know Doug Marrone gave a lot of compliments to Andy Dalton. But in my opinion, Andy Dalton is not having a great year at decision-making. And I think he's ripe for the pickings. I think his offensive line is ripe for the pickings with those two young tackles that are struggling. And it's affecting the way that of how effective that Andy Dalton and A.J. Green can be. And you would think, okay, well, maybe they want to run the ball a little bit more. Well, the best backs that they have are averaging about 3.0 or 3.2 yards per carry, you know, in Joe Mixon. And that's not a very good number. You know, so you need to keep the Bengals where they are. And going back 2 weeks ago, watching them against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I didn't think they played very well at all.
Are you calling a 10-sack game?
No, it's not going to be a 10-sack game, but it's going to be about five.
Five?
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens on Sunday. Coming up next, Jaguars Thursday. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.